step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 321. Me llamo Lisa Sheps, and I'm here with my partner in crime, co-host extraordinaire, Ms. Nicole Shiro. God bless you. You're listening to us on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM, streaming live at koop.org. Please do not touch your dial. We will be right back.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up.
It is Wednesday, August 5th, 2015. On the show today, we have a generic ensemble and Vortex Rep production of Robin Hood, an elegy. Also, later on in the show, Agape Actors Co-op are back here on the show, and they're going to be talking about Picnic. And of course, we're going to have lovely conversations about the world of theater in Austin, in Chicago, in New York, in London, Timbuktu, and mundane Oklahoma. Stick with us.
He's on the radio too.
He's on the radio too.
Is he?
He is. What are you doing? You're like just punching on your phone there.
I was trying to.
You are a child of the 21st century.
Not really. I do not. My Morgan teaches me how to use my phone. Yeah, 9-year old. So
I'm just saying.
Nick, you can clear this and save back.
Thank
you, Morgan.
Well, thanks to Tracy Schultz and another wonderful remix show.
I really
loved that mix of music. I was like dancing along with it like this.
Remix always makes me happy.
Yeah, it remixes me up.
Woohoo!
It's Sir Remix a lot.
Ba-dum-bum.
So Nicole Shiro, I'm checking in with you. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm busy, but I'm good.
You look as if you are 3 inches of hair lighter.
Yeah, you only said that because I pointed it out, but I did. I cut 3 inches off my hair, and no one's noticed.
I
feel a little lighter.
Now our listener knows.
But you know what's really stinkeroo? I got my hair done, and I normally leave and don't let them blow dry it. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm just not that fussy chick. I let him blow dry my hair, and I was looking pretty, and a bird pooped on my head an hour later. And I don't mean like a little poop. It took me 20 minutes to get the poop out so I could go in the shower.
Well, that reminds me of that famous poem.
Get the poop out of your hair.
No, I don't think that was it. But birdie in the sky, why'd you do that in my eye?
I was a little bummed out by that one. I was like, really? And every time I went outside, I would yell at the birds and like, did you poop in my hair?
That can color a day. Well, next week on Ornithology in Austin. So I want to remind folks that immediately following this, if you're listening on the podcast, and you should be listening on the podcast.
Absolutely.
Please join us backstage for Backstage at Offstage, where we get to learn a little bit more about our guests. And you also get to learn the answer to the quiz, the trivia question that we will pose later on.
Absolutely.
Our show.
I want to know why you aren't listening.
Yeah, you should be listening to
Backstage
the podcast.
Backstage at Offstage, the live and the podcast.
Available to subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as on our website at
offstageonair.com.
Yeah.
Enter your little email in the box.
We'll send it right to you.
Voila.
Let's introduce the folks that are here.
Are the people in our neighborhood?
Well, we have Aaron Pretty. Hi, Aaron. Yeah, exactly.
Hi there.
Locomote over to the Zach Bond. Hi, Zach.
Hey.
Offstage and On the Air veteran, Mr. Jeff Davis.
Hi there. How are you?
Another veteran, KT Shorb.
Hello.
And Taj Senior Gibson.
Hi.
And finally, last but not least, no, you know what? I was going to say Marina because her name is written here, but that's not it. I should just look at you. Krista Gonzalez.
Hi.
It's like, I can only read. I can only do things that are on the page.
Krista's like, where's Lisa going with this?
Yeah, I'm going, I have a little cheat sheet in the footer of my script, I have everybody's name. So it's on every single page because I'm an idiot. Officially,
don't say that.
Officially, the weather service says that we are hot.
Yes.
Okay, good. That's the weather. So I just want to talk about a couple of quick things before we get into everything. I've got some quickie things here. First of all, that little piece of music was from a show called Elephant Steps, a fearful radio show. I could find out. It has been done before, because I know this was from the cast album, and somebody that was in Oh Brother with me, Larry Marshall, was part of the cast, so I know it exists. And it's hold on, I wrote a little. It's a weird sort of operetta thing. Let me just read this. It's got opera singers, orchestra. It was all under the direction of Michael Tilson Thomas.
Fun name to say.
It is. The Time magazine reported it. It sounded like a giant radio with its dials spinning crazy, et cetera, et cetera. So Elephant Steps, a fearful radio show. Also something
else. It's like listening to us.
It is. Yeah. And Nicole and I have promised to try to dial it back a little bit. But so far in the first 6 minutes, we have not been successful.
I feel like we went down a half notch.
Good. Well, I love you for that.
Fine.
So I was listening to a little show called A Chorus Line.
Was it a singular sensation?
It was a singular sensation. So a particular lyric caught my ear, and it just dawned on me that for many people, it has a different meaning than what it meant.
Which song?
I forgot the name of the song, but Swiped My Dance Card. Dance 10 looks 3.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So she swiped her dance card.
And I'm still on unemployment.
She swiped her dance card. So without Nicole answering, does anybody know what that means?
I'm not allowed to answer.
Does that mean that she stole, her ranking sheet or something
yes,
from
exactly.
the director?
Okay. But see, in today's day, swiping your dance card would be swiping a card with a metal stripe on the back.
Like at a gym or something.
Like, because swipe is not a word that is used so much anymore, and I don't believe we use dance cards anymore.
No, I think we just have
She'd have to steal someone's laptop now to get that information.
That's true. I just found that interesting because
works in the lyrics.
It does. Anyway, so that's it. Swipe my dance card. Hamilton opens tomorrow night, the 6th.
First, the sun will come out. And then Hamilton will open.
It's true. Thank you.
I'm just so full of it today.
You are on it. Did everybody else get that?
Har.
let's see. And then the other thing I just want to talk about very quickly before we get into it is something I was going to mention last week but didn't. They're making a musical of The King of Comedy.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
That movie just so rocked.
It did rock.
It was a great movie.
Which
very
is why
dark.
I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that.
Sandra Bernhardt, so Jerry Lewis.
We talked to Sandra Bernhardt about that when
we interviewed her. That's true. That's true. We did. Very good. And it is going to be written by your boy, Stephen Trask.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited about that.
So, co-creator of Hedwig, for those that don't know. And also Chris D'Arenzio, who I didn't know. He wrote the book for Rock of Ages. So, I think that's going to be sort of interesting.
It should be interesting.
I'm looking forward to it. All right.
Voila.
So, we did have one show that opened this week.
And why don't you tell us about it?
I am going to tell us about it.
That's exciting.
And it stars the young man, I forget his name, but I'm going to come up with it as soon as I find my little piece of paper, who was in my favorite movie of all time, Pitch Perfect.
That's like your Pitch Perfect.
Yeah. His name, Benji, no, no, I'm sorry, not, no, not, Ben Platt. He plays the little nerdy boy, the magician. Wow.
I wish the camera was working for our listeners to see the wah-wah.
Anyway, so it opened in D.C. at Arena Stage. It's a Pasek and Paul show. Pasek and Paul wrote Dogfight.
Another fun name to say.
It is a fun Pasek. Any alliterative name is fun.
I know.
Little Lisa. Naughty Nicole.
No. Yeah, I've heard that one before.
Yeah. Directed by Michael Greif. So it's got some nice people in it. And did he like it thing?
I went on it. I did not print it. I thought I had.
Well,
I
but like, he was. Nope. It was a. It was an.
It was a. Eh.
Eh. But
it
when
wasn't
you read
good
it,
or bad.
But no, it was. It was. This was a very good review, as far as I'm concerned. Did anybody else know anything about this?
Wait a minute. It was a good review, but he had a. Eh?
Yeah, I'm gonna get there. Anybody? No. Okay, so we're just gonna talk amongst ourselves.
I'm putting up that wall to include them anymore. It just went up.
So in the 4-page review, it was all very good until the last second to last paragraph where it says, I should say what it's called. Dear Evan Hansen is the name of it. And it's very much in the realm of Next to Normal. Thank you, Michael Greif. And it's dark. It deals with mental illness. It's about a young man who's an isolated young man at school, bullied, and through some things he sort of doesn't really befriend somebody, but there's another person involved that commits suicide, et cetera, et cetera. So it's got a lot of dark. It's very, very dark, but it looks like a great show. It's got its sights on Broadway, of course.
I was like, it's got its sights from what I was reading about.
Yeah, but let's just very quickly, I have a little taste of the music. You want to hear it?
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah. Yes, I do.
So I pulled this off of that little thing called the interweb. Okay. So let's listen to a little bit of it.
Okay.
Could it be us? Could it be us and only us? And what came before won't count anymore or matter. Can we try that? Maybe it's possible. No. Two of us here say that it's possible.
We could just watch the whole world disappear.
Till you're the only one I still know how to see.
Whoa, what do you think?
Not as good as Next to Normal.
Well, interestingly, they...
Sorry. Didn't enthrall me as much as Next to Normal. Curious didn't make me go, get the hook.
It's a whole different vibe. It's much darker and more melodic. Next to Normal was very poppy.
Yeah. I'm not a big poppy musical fan, and I did like
I had no problem with it. They do one of the things that he said, Charles Isherwood said that he didn't like, was the things that happened that were unnecessary was the ghost of the young boy that committed suicide comes in, very much like Next to Normal. Anyway, I'm interested in seeing it.
No, so. I think it's interesting. I think there should be more on mental health out there, so yeah, there you go.
Exactly. What do you want to talk about?
Oh, I get to choose now. We're not going in this list.
No, we're not
anymore.
Going in any order. Whatever you want to do.
Oh, well, that just...
Well, yours are the highlighted things. You can't do the trivia question now because that's the last thing.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought it was so cool that they did a concert version of Beautiful in Central Park for the people for free.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
That's a series. They do that a lot.
I know, but it was beautiful. I mean, it's closed and they came back and they did it. I think that's so cool. Hoda Kotb was the... Amensee for the evening.
Who I'm not crazy about. I want to just go on.
I love Hoda. I love me Hoda. Don't get me started. Love me Hoda.
I'm not going to get you started. I refuse.
But she videotaped a whole bunch of it while she was on stage, like doing it. And she talked on. It was a really cool segment she did on the Today Show about it. And I was like, man, I wish I was there. But I'm not.
Yeah. When you were in New York, did you ever go to the things in the park, the Broadway series that they have there?
Not a lot.
Yeah, me neither.
To be quite honest with
you. I don't think they had it when I was living there.
I did the Shakespeare in the park a bit, but no.
No,
I
this
would,
is the park that this is what's what
I know,
you call it,
I know. It's
park.
I know.
Needle
it's
park.
Where they do the concerts and stuff too, besides. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, I never really went to the park a lot, to be honest with you.
I did.
I don't know.
You didn't?
What were you doing in the park?
Do you live in New York?
I briefly lived there, yeah.
What part?
I was in the Village for school, and then I went up to...
NYU?
Mm-hmm.
I know that place.
Yep. Then I went to Washington Heights.
Where in Washington Heights?
168th and Fort Washington.
I lived at 162nd and Riverside.
Yeah, I was like, you were her neighbor.
Good girls. Okay, I need to talk about this. This is the coolest thing. I watched it 5 or 6 times this morning because I was hoping to be able to perform a little bit for everybody here.
And?
You can't. Oh. I can't. I just... but it's so beautiful. You know, I have this love affair with Fun Home.
I have it with you.
I just love the music. And they did... Playbill went and they did the funnest thing. So the... And my... And everybody's favorite anthem from the show is Ring of Keys.
Mm-hmm.
And so they went in and they asked all the different cast members. Michael Cerveris, Ellen Skeggs, Emily Skeggs, who I am in love with, to give their interpretation of the song. And so they have all these different interpretations of the song, and they sort of blend it together in a video. And it starts with this one girl, I don't know who she is, singing and signing. And that's the part I was going to try to perform for you guys. But I just couldn't get it. And it's so beautiful. And so that the signing intersperses throughout. And at one point, Emily Skeggs does this. Emily Skeggs, who doesn't sing at all in this
piece. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. But she sings. I mean, she's got that great piece on I'm Changing My Major to Joan. Anyway, I took that and I cut together my own little very short piece so you can get a sense of what it was. So they clearly recorded this on like an iPhone camera, so mm-hmm. the quality isn't great. But they went through and they did things at the last piece. There's only three little sections to this. The last section was done in the dressing room. But just give a listen to this. And it's going to start with the section, the very opening when the woman is doing the sign singing. And it just, I would cry every time I'd watch it. Here it is.
Someone just came in the door, like no one I ever saw before. I feel.
Tu llave soy, tu llavero.
I just sort of give you a little taste of it.
It is cool.
You can go to offstageonair.com once we post the show, and I have a link to it. Or you can just search for it on playbill.com. You can find it. I command you to go watch it.
Command!
We're not supposed to have any calls to action here, but I command you to do this.
Dun, 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 dun.
It's just so beautiful. So a lot of it is filmed in the house, in the front of the house. And it's just really, really beautiful. There is also a lovely recording taken from the Tonight Show of Emily Skeggs singing I'm Gonna Change My Major to Joan.
Yes.
The whole number.
It's pretty awesome.
It's awesome. Did you see it?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes,
awesome
yes.
songs. And can I just say, I don't recognize Michael Cerveris with hair.
He does know, look a
right?
little off with hair. You
it's
are
so
correct.
Weird.
I had to go and make sure that was him.
No, yeah. I totally understand what you're talking about.
And it's a wig.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Oh, well, totally.
But
yeah.
What confused me is in this little video, which was not done during the show, not in costume, he had hair.
And it doesn't seem like it's the color of hair if he was naturally growing hair, that would be the color of it. I don't know. So it makes it a little more off for me.
I'm with
but
you.
What are you going to do?
All right. What else you got for us?
Hello, Rocky Horror Show is being remounted in London.
Yeah, London, merry old.
Very, very exciting.
Anybody of note in it?
Mr. Richard O'Brien will be playing okay. the narrator.
I do not know who that is.
Well, it's going to be part of the trivia question today.
Okay, never mind.
But
we'll just wait.
He played Riff Raff.
He's Mr. and Mrs. O'Brien.
Wrote
little.
It and did some other
he
stuff.
He played Riff Raff in the movie? Because
yes, he did in the show, too.
Okay.
Yes.
That's the guy with the stringy hair, right?
Yes. That's the guy right here. See him?
Okay. Well, that's my trick.
I know.
Wow. Crazy.
There he is. So September 11th through September 19th. And I thought what's really cool is they're going to actually... do a live broadcast gala performance that is going to benefit Amnesty International, but poo-poo on them. They're only doing it in Europe movie theaters.
Poo-poo.
What about the USA people? People. So, but I find that really kind of exciting. Yeah. I would love the remount they did a few years ago was really awesome. I'd love if they did it again.
All right. Taye Diggs is in the role.
Yeah,
of
he is.
Right
you oh, yeah, yes. He is.
Not doing very well though, unfortunately.
I know, and I'm so sad. And is it Taye? Is it because they changed the story? Is it because they changed the orchestrations?
Well,
I don't know.
Not oddly. It has never achieved the grosses that it did when NPH was in it. So it's never.
Well, they charged $350 a ticket, so that could be part of it. The tickets
okay.
when
right. well, okay.
Jamison
chill,
was 100.
Chill, down to 11.
I'm just saying.
Okay, so so it's never really grossed what he did. But this time, this is the second slowest week that they've ever had. They were at 55%.
Well, I'm coming. Don't go away before I get there.
Yeah, yeah. Hamilton, $1.5 million.
Dude, make a bank.
That's crazy.
$1.5 million.
For a completely original show
yeah.
with no... like it is, box office star. Really.
It's only the only thing it went behind was The Lion King, Wicked, Aladdin, and The Book of Mormon.
I was going to say, hand, and it didn't. Hand of God did really well for its final week with Jim Parsons.
Act of God.
Act of God, sorry. Yes. I have Hand of God, the other show, the puppet show, sorry.
As did Fish in the Dark, that Jason Alexander, who took over for Larry David.
Yeah.
Both closed. But they recouped and they did quite well.
I think their biggest grossing weeks were their final weeks.
Amazing Grace is still open by the grace of
the skin of its
something cheese. Amazing. So that's that. And you know what? We're going to have to go straight to the trivia question.
Okay. Well, it's Rocky Horror related.
Oh, wait. Before we do that, just very quickly as you can, talk about Funny Girl in London.
Oh, I love me some Funny Girl. I pulled the paper out.
Just very quickly. That's the optimum word there.
All right. Olivier winner Sheridan Smith is going to start in it. It's going to be in the Meunier Chocolate Factory.
Like to call the Meunier Chocolate Factory.
Yeah. I say Meunier just to be a smarty.
No, it is Meunier.
Hello. I'm never
wrong.
Mind.
You're
okay.
Right.
We're wrong. It's going to return starting November 20th, and it'll open December 2nd and run through March 5th.
That's in London.
In London.
Okay, well, hopefully.
Step in time. We can go over there and go see a little.
Hopefully it will make its way in
here,
Governor.
We haven't had step in time in a while. We love the Funny Girl.
Okay, let's do a trivia question.
Okay. The
so
Rocky.
Before you do that, just to remind folks, this is the only second time we've done it. This is a trivia question. We're going to ask you the question now. Do not answer, because you're going to get the answer right at the beginning of Backstage at Offstage, because you're listening to the podcast.
Keep your thoughts to yourself. Okay. The Rocky Horror... I went under British shows for this one. Okay. The Rocky Horror Show, an affectionate theater tribute to science fiction movies, debuted in London in 1973 and became a cult hit. Came to New York in 1975, transforming the Belasco, where Hedwig is playing, into a cabinet setting, but American audiences didn't take to it. Despite the pans, it was filmed the following year with many of the original London cast, including Tim Curry as Dr. Frankenfurter. The film developed a cult following, and the musical did much better in its 2000 revival, which was awesome. The versatile Richard O'Brien, who we just spoke about, was responsible for nearly everything in the original Rocky Horror. He did all of the following except A, the book, B, the music, C, play the role of Riff Raff, D, the lyrics, E, direct.
Okay, so he did everything. Richard O'Brien, says his name?
Richard O'Brien,
did
yes.
everything but the book, the lyrics.
You got to decide what he didn't do. The book, right. The music, play the role of Riff Raff, the lyrics, or direct.
Okay, so stick around. That will be answered at the top of Backstage at Offstage. In the meantime, let's hear a little bit of a version of a song from Funny Girl.
Sadie, Sadie, married lady.
Okay, we are back.
Yes.
Okay, so just because we show everybody how we make the sausage here, please remember the number 100.2 for me.
100.2.
Okay, you can now forget it, because I've done what I needed to do. All right, we're here to talk to our first guests here from the Generic Ensemble and Vortex. We have Katie Shorb.
Hello.
Krista Gonzalez.
Hi again.
And Taji Senior Gibson.
Hello.
And they've all taken seats and they're very, very comfortable. Don't feel guilty. So this is Robin Hood, but this is not the Robin Hood that we would expect to, or we would not expect to see, but that we are typically used to seeing, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, I don't believe there are going to be any tights, unfortunately.
Darn!
That's okay. That's not why I liked the Robin Hood.
tell us about this version.
So this version of Robin Hood follows a black Robin Hood who does a bit of time travel.
Uh-huh.
And through his time travel, learns a little bit about the legacy of violence against black people, specifically in the United States, but there are references to abroad as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's okay. So certainly timely.
Yes.
And this is part of the whole Black Lives Matter.
We are in conversation with that, yes.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah. I heard a interview with the woman that started Black Lives Matter, and it was really a wonderful, wonderful interview. And talking about the co-opting of the hashtag, if you will, from other things, and how she doesn't think that's necessarily a good thing for the Black Lives Matter campaign.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That would be an interesting
interview. Well, it's arguable. So anyway, but we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about the show. So what's the format? Is it a standard type narrative show?
There are elements of the standard narrative, but it is interrupted by some pieces that the ensemble scripted themselves, as well as a bit of puppetry, too.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
So there's lots of, I guess, mixed media, you could say, in the piece. So it's not, you know, your traditional sit down, watch this story. But
go ahead.
If the ensemble wrote original work within it, too, how was that process? Did you do that as part of the rehearsal process, or did you all sit down going, okay, let's work on this, we have to write this area?
Yeah, that part was extremely collaborative. So we got the original script, and we read through it, and we worked through it, or whatever, and then with the piece that tackles an issue this big, there has to be conversations around surrounding it, because while we all are people of color, our experiences as people of color are completely nuanced. So for that to be true and for that to be accurate and for that to be portrayed honestly, there had to be a lot of conversations. And so I think that that's how that came about. It's just, look, thankfully, KT and Krista were very receptive and very open, and that's kind of how we came to the scripted pieces by the cast.
That's great point, especially about the whole discussion and discussions. It's not an unfortunate word. I don't think we discuss it enough, but we don't have conversations around race the way they should be, in my opinion.
Oh, I agree with you on that one.
I should tell folks we didn't bother to say that KT Shore, you're the director.
I am. Yes.
Krista Gonzalez, you wrote the piece.
Yes.
Except for the parts that the ensemble wrote.
Exactly.
And Taji, are you a performer?
I am.
And what role do you play?
Robin.
Hood?
Robin Hood.
So you call it an elegy. So what's the idea of it being an elegy, and how is this Robin Hood the same or different from the classic character that we know?
I'll speak to the elegy component since it's in the title. You know, given the current, the climate isn't current. I think the visibility of the climate is much larger. And so with us witnessing so many Black lives being taken, I think connecting the story to the notion of an elegy and a meditation on this was really important. And to have this conversation, I think that those things have to be acknowledged and discussed, and the piece does jump right in and take it on.
Yeah. Awesome. Good. And the character?
This Robin... So I think speaking to the similarities and the differences, that's one of the things we actually discussed in trying to connect this fable with what's happening. He is very much a crusader. He is very outspoken, and he believes in the empowerment of the meek. He kind of takes that whole phrase, the meek shall inherit the earth, kind of to heart. I think what makes him different as far as modern Robin, I think I can say that without giving anything away. As far as modern Robin is concerned, he does it through art and through poetry and through murals, and you get to see a lot of that. You get to see his humanity, which I don't think you get to see as much with the Robin Hood that most people know.
Right.
He's just a character. He's all personality and not a lot of person. In this Robin Hood, you get to see a lot of the person, the makings of him through his friendships and his relationship with his mother and his interests and those sorts of things.
Okay, and you play Robin Hood, so I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, but as you sit before me, you're attired rather femininely.
Yes.
So we know that gender, in my opinion, gender is sort of a construct as it is. But are you playing a male version of Robin Hood, a female version of Robin Hood, or is that unimportant?
To me, it's important. I mean, obviously, there's violence against Black women as well. Personally, I am playing a male Robin Hood. From my perspective, as a Black woman, I have kind of a maternal familial feeling to him. So I know him. I know him. Like, he is my cousin. He is my friend. He is the boys I went to middle school with who make you laugh until tears come out of your eyes. I know him. And so I really wanted to. And a lot of times I feel like, speaking about gender, women are... tend to be like empathizers, and people give us, you know, space to speak, or they you know, they expect us to speak. But men, especially Black men, they have to stifle it. And so if there's ever an opportunity for me to speak on their behalf, with their permission, then I'd gladly take it.
Very, very
well said. I was just like, I like that. Yeah. That was interesting.
We're going to take a little sidebar here, and Taji, I'm going to give you the job of choosing a number between 2 and 44.
18.
Because that's my age. So that's
vintage
good.
Year.
Here we go. Let's see what you chose.
Hello, I'm Liliane Montevecchi, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP, Aunts by Austin.
Lillian Montevecchi.
I was just listening to her like 2 days ago.
I was hoping we'd get a Ben Vereen.
We haven't had him in there singing in a while, but yeah, I know.
Lillian's
good. Lillian Lafleur from Nine. Come on.
We love Lillian Montevecchi. I wish there is the version where she speaks French, but we didn't get that.
Because she is French.
Really? Did not get that from her accent.
No, not at all.
So anyway, back. I love what you said there. So one of the things that you mentioned was you're talking about poetry and murals and things like that. Is there a visual art component to this piece?
Not so much, but I think the creativity of Robin is apparent. And I mean, it is a lot of the scenic, and many of the design elements are, I think, on the minimal side, because I was very interested in really showing the actors themselves off as much as possible. But and like in terms of Taji being Robin as a man or Robin as a woman, because Robin is a name that could be either, I gave Taji a choice, and we talked about it for a while, because I in my mind Robin could be a man or a woman, mm-hmm. and we could tell a moving story either way. So we have been doing some work, because Taji is a feminine person, working on how to help Taji embody masculinity.
It's a chore. I mean, it's something mm-hmm. I'm assuming that you weren't brought up to take up space.
No, that is right.
It is kind of total awareness of your body and space. Yeah. Two totally different things.
Yeah.
So with the subject matter and talking about race, it's a huge thing right now. Fortunately, it's something that we're starting to like scrape at the surface and talk mm-hmm. a little bit about. Mm-hmm. Is there an opportunity for the audience? Are you having talkbacks? So a lot of times I know when there's things that happen around race as a white person and dealing with all this lovely white guilt that I have, then I need time to, I want to be able to process it. If I just see things and things are thrown at me and I can't let it out. Are y'all doing that?
There will be some discussions. We're still trying to decide what dates they're going to be. I'm really tempted to say one date, but it's not completely official. So we're going to have at least one, if not two, discussions.
Good.
And I mean, really our whole, my main goal is to get people talking and thinking about this. I'm not trying to tell people what to talk about or think about, but
start the conversation.
Yes, exactly.
That's
awesome.
How big is the cast? Anybody else you want to give shout outs to before we have to say goodbye to you guys about this subject?
Well, there are 8 people in the cast. So there's Taji Senior, and there's Cameron McKnight and Tanya Penny and Althea Clemens and
Morgan Collado
and Sarai Rosales and Marina Deo Pedraza.
Okay, everybody has really cool names in the cast, by the way. I just wanted, like,
that's why you and I aren't in the cast.
Good ones, but then, yeah, they, we do about, not fit in there.
They thought about calling us, but they said, no, the names ain't right.
Names don't work.
And I also wanted to let folks know that we will have an ASL interpreted show.
Lovely.
On
awesome.
August 14th.
Lovely. So. And will you play Ring of Keys?
Chelsea Manasseri.
Chelsea Manasseri. Thank you. I was like, oh, there's somebody
missing. Yeah. So you started doing the list. Once you do the list, you can't leave anybody out.
Exactly. No, and the pressure is on, too. Yeah. And then it's like,
thank you, Taji.
So when do you open?
This Friday.
This Friday at the Vortex.
At the Vortex.
And where can folks go to get more information?
At vortexrep.org.
Vortexrep.org. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank
you
for being here. I hope you can stick around and come with us to the backstage area and talk to us there.
Please do.
Please do. That was KT Shorb, Krista Gonzalez, and Taj Senior Gibson of Generic Ensemble and Vortex Rep's production of Robin Hood and Elegy, playing August 7th through 22nd at the Vortex Theater. For more information, vortexrep.org.
Rumbling and rolling is coming down from
that song. Rumbling and rolling is from Parade.
I know.
And I just thought that was a very sort of appropriate when, you know, we're talking about Black Lives Matter, and that's good piece for that. Anyway, and Parade being done here in Austin, Texas by Ground Floor Theater in December.
Yes, it is.
Are you kidding?
No.
I am not
kidding.
Tickets
available somewhere?
Not yet.
Not
will
yet,
be.
But it's exciting stuff about it. We'll talk later.
It's a concert version with deaf and hearing actors.
Awesome.
So
I am there.
It's awesome. We love that. So let's talk about what's happening locally before we get into Nicole's pick. I just want to remind folks, last week's guest, The Tree Play, opens tomorrow night with a preview tonight at the Ground Floor Theater.
I was about to say, what theater would that be?
And I was fortunate enough to be able to watch a rehearsal of it. It's very interesting. It's 40 minutes long, and it really deals with the rainforest and the things that we're doing. And it's interesting in a very good way. It's fun to watch, and there's some really great performances.
Nice.
What else is going
on
here?
They were awesome. I enjoyed having them on last week. That was a fun show.
Yeah, me too.
For sure. Oh, you're not doing your second thing. Oh, sorry. All right. Well, I chose this week Lover Boy. Do you know Lover Boy? The improv, all-female improv.
I do not.
Based comedy troupe. They have they've been hosting a month-long variety show over at Cold Town Theater. And it is Thursday in August at 8:30 p.m. It's called Date Night. Dun, 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 dun. The picture makes me laugh with the lips and going around and the big teeth.
Lovely.
Yeah, I know. It's funny.
Lips and big teeth.
Lips, big
Story
teeth.
Story of my life. That was my sorority
It's
going
to be three. Oh, my gosh. We're starting the sorority again. Three different comedic acts based on matters of the heart. So there are performers from all over the Austin comedy scene, including the members of Loverboy, and so I think that's kind of cool. I think that it's all-inclusive. ColdTownTheater.com. You can get more info. So Thursday, August 6th. Yes, it is 6th.
Awesome. I want to remind folks that Summerstock Austin is still playing, and they're about to open Into the Woods.
Yes, it's time to go.
Yeah,
Jeff got it. Jeff, you're the only one on my jokes today.
Woo!
I've never done the show, so I don't have an intimate knowledge of everything.
I don't think you have to do the show to know it's Into the Woods. It's time to go.
I didn't know that second part off the top of my head. I'm sorry. Just a reminder, that's playing. It's the Long Center. TheLongCenter.org is a good place to get information for that. Ginger Morris, our good friend, is directing that. Also, I saw something interesting.
Ginger, I miss you.
The Houston Tillotson University is doing a production of Totally Committed. Their group is the Baby Girl Production Companies, and their little blurb basically says, Ryan and Morgan, doesn't basically say it, it actually does say it. Brian and Morgan are a couple who seemingly have it all. Great careers, a wonderful marriage, and they are the envy of most. However, what glitters ain't always gold. When there's pressure and drama of life, is it possible to remain totally committed?
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And that's over at Houston Tillotson. For more information, I would.
Now playingaustin.com.
Thank you. That's the way to do it. Mm-hmm. They don't have a website. So let's go right. That had already happened.
Oh.
It was part of the thing. Let's go right into today in theater history.
Oh, very exciting.
Okay. In 1977.
What happened,
the
Lisa?
The year I moved to New York City. New York City.
And what happened when you
were there? Wait, what's the date? Oh, I should add that to today in theater history on June 21st. 1977, that's when I moved there.
Summer solstice.
So, again, this seems to be another day for people dying. Oh. This was not when he died, but this was the night that they dimmed the marquee lights for Alfred Lunt. But what sort of makes this interesting, 1977, so guess how many times previous to this had they dimmed the lights?
I don't think that. And this, when they started, it was in the 70s. No?
Anybody else? Yeah. Okay. No, this is the third time. I had assumed that they had been doing it for years and years.
No,
and years.
I remember, and I only know this from the whole Joan Rivers conundrum, angry people, dim the lights, don't right. dim the lights. Mm-hmm. And I remember reading an article. Okay. It was somewhat recent. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known.
So the anniversary of the death of Richard Burton, 1984.
Yeah, it's a lot of depressing.
I know, but we'll stop. Let's go happy again. So this is the this was a sold out production of Hamlet that opened tonight in 2008, starring David Tennant.
Yes,
in the title role, and somebody named Patrick Stewart played Claudius.
You know who is that man?
Don't know him.
Jean-Luc Picard.
It went on to the West End, and it was filmed for television broadcast. That I did not know.
I did know that one.
I haven't seen
what
it.
What is his character's name in X-Men? Charles.
I've never seen it.
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Is it?
Yeah,
it is.
Exactly.
Okay,
no.
Charles Xavier.
Charles Xavier. Thank you. I was going to drive me nuts all day.
Okay, and it's the Shakespeare in the Park production of King Lear, opened in 2014, starring one John Lithgow.
Oh yes.
At the Delcourt, it was directed by Daniel Sullivan. It also had Annette Bening, Jessica Collins, Jessica Hecht, and Stephen Boyer. Today's birthdays. I don't know any of these people, so we'll see who else do know. Reginald Owen. Anybody?
Reginald.
Oh,
we go way back.
Oh, yeah. Isn't
remember that time we went tubing on the
Guadalupe? That's the real
name
of Elton John, isn't it?
I doubt it.
Isn't it?
1887. It may be.
No, the not 1880. No, the no.
It
the
may,
no.
It may be.
Close,
indeed,
but no.
But it wouldn't be on
that
a Broadway.
That was a cloudy year for me. I was a little naughty that year.
Claire Eames in 1896. Anybody?
And how do you spell the Eames?
E-A-M-E-S.
Oh.
Wilbur Evans. Wilbur Evans.
Did you just go Wilbur?
I did. I went Mr. Ed.
Totally.
No, Alan Howard in 1937. Okay, we're now getting close to us. So somebody,
you know, that Ann Chicolette have been like, I know that
she knew
one
everybody.
Every single one.
Jonathan Silverman.
Okay, I know who he
you
is.
You do. Okay, yeah. 1966. Who is he?
Jonathan Silverman, Brighton Beach Memoirs.
Okay.
Isn't that Jonathan Silverman?
Are you thinking
sure.
not Jason Schwartzman?
No people. I'm gonna pull a picture up
all
of
right.
him.
Okay, don't worry about it.
Well, now I need to know I'm right.
Okay.
Good. Or if I'm wrong.
And then finally, in 2012, this was the day that. Memphis closed. And Memphis is, again, one of my favorites. So we'll go out listening to a little bit of that.
Pick me up. Lift me higher.
Okay, we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Yes.
On a delightful sunny day in August in Austin, Texas.
Hot, hot, hot. And Jonathan Silverman is the Brighton Beach Memoirs,
okay.
dude.
I'm not finished with my... All right. Okay, not... You know, you don't let me finish my stuff.
I'm sorry.
Upsets me. I have to start crying.
Don't do that.
It's okay. People did not want to know that we're here at KOOP, Hornsby, Austin.
They definitely
They
do.
Did not want to know
oh,
how to
so
find
do.
Us at KOOP.org.
What is that?
They did not want to know that they can get us at offstageonair.com.
Can they stream live?
They can.
Oh, that's kind of exciting.
Okay, that was fun. All right. Let's have ourselves a little picnic. This show is a picnic, if you ask me. And our very good friends at Agape Actors Co-op are producing a production of Picnic that's opening this week. And in the house today, we have Jeff Davis, co-artistic director.
Managing director.
Managing director. Yeah. I do that every...
I think I do that every single time.
Oh, yeah.
Of Agape. And are you the director of this piece?
I am the co-director of it,
the
yes.
The co-director. Who along
your
with?
Partner
with Laurie Mann.
Laurie who?
Laurie Mann.
Laurie Mann. I thought you said Mietten. I went, I don't know who that is. Laurie Mann. And then we have two of the actors. We have Aaron Preedy, who
yes.
plays Madge, and Zach Bond, who plays Hal.
Yep.
Are you playing a computer?
No.
I'm Anybody not. Get that one? Anybody?
I did.
Okay, thank you. That's 2001 Space Odyssey. So Picnic, William Inge, Pulitzer yes. Prize winning play. What's it all about, Alfie?
Well, Picnic is...
That was good, Lisa.
That was good. Picnic is just this very simple, classic American drama about small-town life in Kansas. And the play really centers around Madge, who's a 19, 20-year-old girl who falls in love with this drifter that comes through town, and that's Hal. And the whole show is really about how Hal... impacts the people in this town and their lives over the course of one day.
Right.
So
Labor Day.
Yes, over a Labor Day weekend, yes. So
And so it deals with a lot of love and loss.
Yes. And one of the things that's been really kind of fun with this one is we found out the second day that I was in the rehearsal room with the cast, I asked them, why are we doing this show? It's 62 years old. What's relevant about it now? And we all kind of looked at each other and we just said, it's relevant because of what it says about women. There's some really interesting things that this play says about women, and it's very subtle. But there's some great things in there about how we as Americans view that the best thing that a woman can be is pretty,
right,
or be a mother or be a school teacher. And that's kind of the limit to what we think a woman can or should be.
Right.
Wait a minute. You mean they shouldn't?
It's very much a conversation about that 1950s, 1960s ethos of gender roles in our
society.
Absolutely.
And it's really interesting looking at that 60-some years later and saying, wish more had changed. And some has, but not nearly enough.
Right.
Not nearly enough.
You guys play the two of the... Well, you're the Drifter, right, Zach? And the character's name is what again?
Hal.
That's right. I made a joke about that. You'd think I'd remember it.
And Mary,
you play Madge.
Yes.
How is it playing those roles? How is it? I'm gonna go on record as my 56-year-old eyes. You guys look sort of young.
I'm 21. I'm a few years older than what Madge is in the show.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So. I was like, she's young. Isn't
she's supposed to be a year out of high school, maybe. Yeah. I mean, she's young. Yeah.
I thought.
Zach?
I'm 17, so yeah, I'm a little bit younger, but I think Hal's supposed to be like in his maybe early 20s, 23 years.
I don't know. It seems to be it's very complex issues for people to play. It's very, very difficult. I was just wondering how that was for you guys.
Honestly, I am very much the opposite of Madge. I've never been the pretty one in the family or anything like that. She's got all these issues that I've kind of had to teach myself to think about. But she does have a lot of problems that people still face today. It's like, okay, your parents want you to go and marry somebody rich and successful so that they can benefit as well as you. And they don't really, if you're like a decent person and you got the looks, they're like, okay, you'll survive. But let's focus on the younger sister or the younger brother and make sure that they get off all right. And so it's been a lot of fun trying to delve into her character.
Cool. And how is it to play a drifter? I'm guessing you haven't drifted in your life.
You haven't seen him on 35 out there? I just passed him the other day.
There's Zach flying a sign.
No, I haven't. It's actually pretty fun to play Hal. He's kind of a, even though given his backstory, you know, rough childhood, which I never had, but the whole, you know, sometimes very bad boy attitude, which some would say is not my style, but sometimes it can be. But it was really fun to get to play a character that I haven't kind of played before, like Hal, where he's, you know, flirts with girls and, you know, and the big strong guy, and it was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, still is, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it still is a lot of fun. Yeah,
it hasn't really started yet.
So I don't mean to put you on the spot because we didn't talk about this beforehand. Do you guys have a scene? Were you all prepared to do a scene or no?
If you guys want to, you probably could do.
Jeff's like, well,
you probably could do.
I think I know.
End of Act Two or beginning of Act Three.
The little quickie scene.
Yeah. End of Act Two, probably.
How do y'all feel? Do you feel free to say no. People say it to me all the time.
It's all right if you don't.
You want to do end of Act Two?
Sure.
Yeah. start from the motorcycle. Stealing the motorcycle.
Okay. So this is Zach Bond and Aaron Pretty doing a scene from Agape Actors Co-op's production of Picnic.
Yeah. I stole a motorcycle. I stole it because I wanted to get on the dang thing and go so far away so fast that no one would ever catch up with me.
I think lots of boys feel that way at times. Is there nothing else? I mean, I feel like that couldn't be all that Miss Sydney got to your head.
Then I went to reform school. Some welfare league hauls me out. My mother's sorry to see me back. She's got a new boyfriend and I'm in the way.
It's awful when parents don't get along.
I never told that to another soul. Not even Seymour.
I wish there was something I could say or do.
Well, that's the Hal Carter story. But no one's ever going to make a movie of it.
I think most people would be awfully shocked.
Well, there it is, baby. If you want to run the house and lock the doors or faint, go ahead. I ain't stopping you.
Well, I'm going to faint.
Actually, there's a whole lot of smooching going on.
Yeah, when you read some of the synopsis, they talk a lot about smooching.
It does say
smooch. Oh, yeah. It's all over.
Smooch.
Yeah.
Smooch.
It's in the
smooch.
It's in the script. It's in the stage direction. It's all over the place.
Smooch here.
Yeah.
Enter smooch.
I mean, it's quite an undertaking to take on this. How's the process been for any of you?
This has been one of the most interesting process to work on. The reason why I'm co-directing the show is Laurie Mann, who initially signed on to direct, unfortunately had to step away from the show due to family issues. So I came in a month ago to finish out the show, and I have had, as we found out last night, we tracked this, one rehearsal with the entire cast.
Oh my.
There's been someone missing
every rehearsal. That's hard to do.
And but what's crazy is this cast doesn't complain. They just like roll with it. And it's a really strong show. Everyone's pulling their weight. And I have never had the opportunity to work with a cast that's this strong. It's really been a rewarding experience.
That's wonderful. Can you talk about any of the other players, any of the cast members or designers or anything?
Yeah. So our cast includes Dave Lovelace and Georgia Medler. They've done several different shows with us before. We have a few other Eastview High School students that are in the cast as well. Alex Poole and Alyssa Castro, who are a couple in real life, just like Dave and Georgia are a couple in real life. So that's kind of fun. And what's really funny is Alex is playing Madge's boyfriend. So there's like this really interesting thing with two characters who are a couple in real life, not playing a couple on stage.
Right.
And then we've got Abby Pierce, who's making her Agape debut with us, and Reese Schald, who's done a couple shows with us. Am I leaving anyone out? Mary Margaret.
And Bane.
We have a freshman at Eastview who's joined us as an understudy, and he's been a delight. So,
which is one of the wonderful, one of the wonderful things that Agape does, which is it pulls from that group at Eastview and uses high school students in your productions. And so, how many do you have in this? What's like percentage wise this time?
This time, between cast and crew, we're looking at about 50% being students.
Awesome.
And they're holding their own against the adults. It's really incredible what they're able to do, and they're just sponges. They want to everything.
You guys
and
are
learn
sponges.
Everything.
Are you an Eastview student?
Yes, I'm an Eastview student. I will be a senior this year. So
you're
a
rising
senior.
You just learned that this year, so I overuse it.
Everything is rising.
That's great. When do you guys open?
We open tomorrow night.
Tomorrow.
The set will come out and then they'll open.
Yes.
It's a callback from an hour ago. So you open tomorrow night.
Yes.
And where's the theater?
The theater is the Black Box Theater at Eastview High School.
In Georgetown,
yes.
And where can folks go to get more information?
If you'd like more information, you can go to www.agapeactors.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you guys for being
on
the show.
Coming. Thank you for having us.
Best of luck with it. And we look forward to a really nice run.
Yeah, thank you.
And again,
you.
Hopefully you guys can trudge your way to the backstage door and
absolutely.
Play with
I
us
hope
backstage.
You do.
We might take a peek.
Okay.
Oh, good. That was Jeff Davis, Zach Bond, and Aaron Pretty of Agape Actors Co-op's production of Picnic, August 6th through 16th at the Black Box Theater at Eastview High School in Georgetown. For more information, agapeactors.com. And it's interesting that Jeff, you mentioned this is all about how we view women, so that's why I chose
this song. Choice.
Pretty women, fascinating.
Can you believe the show is over?
I know.
What the heck?
You know why? Because we were just having so much fun.
We were having a bunch of fun.
Time just went by. Time
flies. Good company.
So I want to remind everybody that if you are listening on the podcast, stick around. We have Backstage at Offstage. We're going to hear the answer to the trivia question about Robert O'Malley or Robert O'Fearson or
Richard O'Brien from One Rocky Horror.
And what he did not do on Rocky Horror Show. If you're listening on the FM, stand by for Austin Modern News. I also want to just mention that right after Austin Modern News, Another Bottle Down with Mark Rayshep is right after that.
I love that.
And you can learn all you want to about wine. So remember, we need you to listen to the podcast.
Yes.
You can subscribe to that podcast on iTunes. You can get us on Stitcher.
Best way.
The best way.
Lisa and Nicole delivered in your mailbox. Yep. We just arrived. Thursday morning.
Offstageonair.com. Put in your name and email address, and we will send you the show.
We appear. We do.
We just appear. And
just
if you're
like
me, I get like 3 copies of it.
You know what? I do too.
So we're going to go out with a little piece of music and a show that I had not heard of. Have you heard of a show called Jimmy?
Yes. Yes.
Well, why do you say it that way?
Yes. I saw this on here. I don't know. I just know it. I don't know. There was no reason why I said it anyway.
Okay.
Ignore the tone and inflection.
It talks about the rise and fall of New York City Mayor Jimmy Walker, who was a surprise. It was marred by corruption. Etc. It had Anita Gillette and Frank Gorshin in it, and we're going to go out with hearing a little bit.
There's a lot of New York Mayor musicals.
There are. We're going to go out and listen to a little bit of Anita Gillette singing OG. Here we go.
OG, couldn't be sillier. You look kind of familiar.
Okay. The curtain has just come down on Flash Panties, the musical. The story of a young girl with hopes of being an athlete in gymnastics, with a propensity to only wear dresses, with no skirts underneath.
I really want to be the lead in that musical. Can we get rid of the lead actress right now so I can take over?
I don't know if you realize it, but you have been playing the lead this whole time. Okay, joining us backstage is almost everybody. We just lost Taji, but we do have KT Shore. Welcome backstage.
Hello.
Krista Gonzalez.
Hey.
Zach Bond. Jeffrey Davis.
Hi there.
Do you go by Jeffrey?
Only when I'm in trouble and it's my mom calling me.
I have a very dear friend from my old days named Jeff Davis, and we call him Jeffrey. So that's just came out. And Aaron Pretty.
Hi.
So welcome backstage. I think we only have one person that's been back here, and that's Jeff, right? You're the only one that's been backstage.
I've been back here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And so have you, Lisa Sheps.
I have, and I've just told, you know what? Because we're so popular here, we've been over-modulating this whole time. I don't know what that means. Aaron.
Yes.
Where do you come from?
I'm from Cedar Park, just north of Austin. So.
I've heard of Cedar Park.
Yeah, it's just around the corner.
You were born in Cedar Park. Did you go to Cedar Park High School?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, okay. This yes man stuff stops right now.
It's a hard habit. She was doing it for
I know.
Look at her every time and go, whatever, lady.
So did you do theater in high school?
Yes. And I was also a part of a troupe outside of school as well.
Cool. What was it? Tell us about that troupe.
The troupe was Buzz Productions. It was
Buzz. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What?
When do we ride into Jerusalem?
Go ahead, sorry, Buzz.
It's all right. I was only with them for one show, and I ended up playing the lead guy in a musical.
Okay.
So that
the
was
lead
kind of
guy
my,
in a musical. So that,
the that very, kind of kick-started my
who's
way.
Who's the lead
into,
guy?
It was some small little musical called Shakespeare Comes to Calamity Creek. And
I love the title.
That just sounds really awesome right
it really
there.
Does. Shakespeare Comes to Calamity Creek.
It was a lot of fun. It was very silly.
Was there calamity?
Yes, there was a little bit of a calamity.
And a creek.
And there was Shakespeare, hopefully.
And so tell us about the lead guy. Who's that?
His name was Johnny Lasso, a Texas Ranger in Arizona, Calamity Creek. And he was following somebody. He was impersonating a Shakespeare actor with a Shakespeare troupe that came into town. So,
methinks I know this person. Well,
so,
that's fun.
Yes, it was a lot of fun, and it kind of.
Do you remember any of the songs?
I only really took I only really had one song, and that was my romantic duet with another girl with the same name, Erin.
Oh, there you go. The character's name was Erin, or her actual name was Erin?
Her name was Erin. My name is Erin, and my character name was Johnny Lasso. It was a party.
What got you interested in doing theater?
I started out in middle school. I want to say Terry Driscoll. I believe that was her first name. It was so long ago. We were doing Les Miserables in some UIL production, but that really got my interest way back then, and it stuck with me ever since.
So your start was Les Mis. So can I presume that you're a musical performer?
Yes, whenever I get the chance.
Oh, do you dance as well? Are you a triple threat?
I try.
You try?
I like ballroom a little bit more than like ballet or anything.
Love ballroom dancing.
Yeah, well, there's
it's
another
highly
there's
athletic.
There's another person that you can blame for mistakes on if you mess up.
So maybe you can produce a production of ballroom.
I would love that.
There you go.
Dun, 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 dun.
I'm here to solve your problems.
I was like, Lisa, you are just like the problem solver.
So you're a relatively young lady. Are you in college, graduated college?
I tried college. It wasn't really for me. So yeah. I took a few classes at ACC, mainly just for acting with Perry Crafton and Bertie Shipsey. But besides that, I've been mainly working, putting myself out in the theater world.
Excellent. Do you That's plan awesome. To stay in Austin?
Yes.
Excellent. Well, we need
emphatic
more people here.
Yes, there was, I like that.
There was
that.
No question about that.
No.
What? Tell us about why so emphatically staying in Austin. You just love it?
Yes, it's always been just in my backyard, really. So I would go there all the time. Here, really.
Well, you know, many of us call Cedar Park South Dallas.
You North are Dallas. The only
I can't
one.
Say that's not true. It's just a little nicer version of Dallas, I think. But Austin has been growing lately, both in theater and in film. And I've been getting as much as I can in both respects to that. I'm hoping it'll grow in voice acting as well.
Great. So
right now, Dallas has that. Darn. Yeah. But until then, I've been trying to do extra work, shooting commercials, and then being with Agape and any other production I can get my hands on.
Awesome.
Under the tutelage of Mr. Davis.
The tutelage of Mr. Davis. I don't know how geared Austin is for post production, but I would so love to be a part of a loop group. I actually sat in on a looping session that a friend of mine is a member of a loop group in LA, and it was Lawnmower Man. They were looping, and I just watched the whole thing. It was so fascinating.
Yeah, I think there's more here than we think. There was a real surgence of it, and then I think it died down a bit, and I think it's coming back up again. But you know, what do I know?
I don't know. I think, you know what? I find that you know an awful lot.
You know, I do know everything. I don't like to say it, but.
Krista, where are you from?
I'm originally from El Paso and Dallas.
Texas?
Yes.
El Paso and Dallas at the same time?
Yes.
That's a commute.
You grew up in El Paso and you moved to Dallas at a young age?
Yeah.
Okay. Precisely. So yeah, I figure out. So thank you. Who's next? No, I'm teasing.
You are welcome, everyone.
So did you do theater in Dallas? I'm guessing you're like adolescent year. How young were you when you moved to Dallas?
Yeah, I was about 10, and then we moved away somewhere else and then came back to Dallas.
Where'd you move to?
Seattle.
I like Seattle.
There. I like it there,
Do you
too.
Drink coffee?
No, not anymore. Okay. I learned and then left.
I learned and then left. That's
when you
funny.
Grew out of it. When did you start doing theater?
When I was about 16, Little Shop of Horrors.
Of Horrors. What'd you play?
I played one of like 9 doo-wop girls. I
think they had nine.
They had nine of them.
Because,
nine of
you know, them? There are a lot of ladies in high school who want to be the doo-wop girls. So I think they were
That would probably be one of the more fun roles in that show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nicole made a face. Yeah.
I you get mad at me, I always reference, but when they did it on Broadway with Douglas Sills and Hunter Foster, Douglas Sills played every other role in the show minus Seymour. There was Seymour, Audrey, Mushnick, and the doo-wop girls. He played every other role besides the dentist in every role, and he was brilliant at it. And I'm like, I would like to do that.
Well, there you go. Okay.
I would like to be
I'd still like to be a doo-wop girl.
If I could be Douglas Sills in that version, then I would like
it. What if you could be Douglas Sills as a doo-wop girl?
Okay. Douglas probably tried, and they may have put the kibosh on it at one point, knowing him. Seriously.
Awesome. So so you were in Little Shop. So have you written? Have you always written? Or when did? And have you made a transition? Do you still perform?
Yeah, I actually am primarily a performer. Uh-huh. But when I was studying at NYU, I was doing experimental theater, which was a lot of self-scripting and devised work. And so that's actually more of my comfort zone with writing. This is the first time that I've done something that's partially devised instead of entirely. So.
Were you at NYU for 4 years?
Yeah, I was.
That's exciting. Yeah. When were you there?
2003 to 2007, and then I stuck around for a couple years after that.
She's too young to know.
And so you live down there in the village?
Yeah, I lived on campus and then graduated.
For all 4 years?
Yeah.
Did you live in that? There was a dormy, the dorm thing right on Fifth Avenue, right at Union Square, at the park there, Washington Square Park.
Wasserstein?
I think so. Yeah. It's something a friend of mine used to go in there all the time.
It's on the east side of the park.
It is.
And like near Space Market.
I don't know if we had Space Market when I was there.
It's over used to be where the Bottom Line was, but the Bottom Line, I think, was gone when you were at school at that point.
Yeah.
It was one of the last good listening lounges.
Speaking of New York, and this is apropos of nothing, I just learned, and this will be a good, we need to answer the trivia question.
I have the answer for you.
Well, I know, we were supposed to do that at the very top. So, so instead of what I was saying, let's do the trivia question.
There were panties showing in the musical. We had to solve some stuff there.
That's true. So, remind everybody the question without the lead up, and then let's answer it. Or let's quiz the folks here to see if they know first.
Okay, so we're talking about the Rocky Horror Show, and the versatile Richard O'Brien was responsible for nearly everything in the original Rocky Horror. He did all of the following except A, the book, B, the music, C, play the role of Riff Raff, which I already mentioned, so that's a shouldn't be in there, D, the lyrics, E, direct.
I'm going to say direct.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Say direct.
Direct.
I'm going to say direct.
We're all choosing E, direct.
Yes. And the answer is?
You would be correct. It's E. Yay. Richard O'Brien did not direct the Rocky Horror Show, but in honor of what's the buzz, let's reference that, the honor went to Jim Sharman, fresh off his record-breaking success with the British production of Jesus Christ Superstar.
What's the buzz? It all comes back around.
So yes, Richard O'Brien wrote the book, wrote the music, played Riff Raff, and wrote the lyrics. That's so, you were like, who is he? And I didn't want to get into it in the things. I'm like, he's the man who basically is Rocky Horror.
Well, he wrote it.
Yeah.
And played one of the roles.
Yeah.
That's why that question was sort of easy to answer.
Yeah, but it's always fun. I think it's really cool he's playing the narrator. That's got to be a nod, because I haven't seen him do the show with playing other parts. So, very interesting.
So, Christy, you're a musical performer, clearly.
Formerly.
Why do you say it that way?
I am not a leading lady when it comes to musicals. I can still probably, hack being in the chorus.
Uh-huh.
But,
hack me? That's one of the hardest.
You don't
that's
have
hard.
To be a leading lady to love a musical or be in one.
No, I actually really enjoy being in them. I prefer dancing over singing, though.
So yeah. I'm gonna sort of take a guess that because you wrote Robin Hood, mm-hmm. that there's an activist bend in you. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Have you always had that activism part of you?
I think so. I was actually thinking about that earlier this week. And when I was like 13, living in Seattle, there weren't very many black folks in my school. And they charged me with doing a film piece to commemorate Martin Luther King Jr. Yeah, that was interesting.
Who can we get to do that? Oh, let's get the black kid to do it.
Exactly. But then I think that's kind of when I started realizing that there was kind of a little bit of a disparity. And doing that work, I learned a lot about, black history. And, that was a spark.
Cool. Well, good. We're glad you're doing that work.
She went down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And she's still going.
It's not a rabbit hole. I would,
I like the rabbit hole. I'm not offended by the rabbit
hole.
Well,
you can't really go down the rabbit hole because it's something you have to like.
Alice came out.
Okay. Well.
Just saying.
The analogy doesn't. Anyway. Never mind. Because you don't fall into it. You have to go kicking and screaming into it. It's not easy. KT, you're an activist.
Yes, I think
I call you an activist.
I've been in an anthology that is actually in the title.
it says activists. It's like autobiographies by queer Asian American activists. So I guess like, I'm like officially an activist. I don't think of myself that way, but yeah.
Well, I think that using art to heighten people's awareness of social justice issues.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is activism.
I do that.
You can be a creative activist. There is no, yeah, no like.
Yeah, I think, because I went to a school where like half of the people who graduated went off to like literally like organize for unions or like tie themselves to trees or, you know, enter various underground rebel movements. So like runchange.org. So compared to them, I feel like I'm like just like kind of very quietly doing my thing.
So did you go to school, the person that runs change.org?
Yes, I did.
Cool. What school?
I went to Oberlin College in Ohio.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No, Oberlin.
George is there.
Why?
Susan's
yes.
Ohio. Okay, that's true.
Yeah. We have some peeps. We know that guy.
We have peeps.
Julie Taymor went there. And,
yeah.
And
Julie, yeah. We're like this. Yeah. We love our Julie Taymor.
You know what's interesting is you talk about, you're like, yeah, I'm not the activist. And those people go off and clearly choose a path that is one, you know what they do. That's their. But you're hitting audiences of people who don't know they're getting hit by it. And they have to stop and think about it. And those are the harder people to reach out to. So don't cut yourself short. Just saying.
I feel like I am. What I try to do is get people to feel things that they might not have felt if I had written an essay about it. Mm-hmm. So in a way, I try to trap people into being like, oh my God, racism is real. for example.
Is it?
So it is kind of like a, yeah, I mean, I feel like that's my ideal. Although I could just write an essay about it.
But it wouldn't have the same emotional impact.
It would be as effective.
And the idea, you use the word tricking people into it, but it's really not tricking. And that's the beauty of using art as a medium to teach. It's, you know, bringing those messages across, and at the end people go, oh my God, I just learned something, and they didn't know it ahead of time.
I think it makes you look at something in a different, through a different lens that you weren't, oh, you know, in the real world lens you're looking, and then you go into this spot and you're like, I just totally saw that in a different lens than my everyday life, because you're enjoying art.
I don't know how successful I am, but I try.
I say you're pretty darn successful.
Awesome.
You wouldn't be in an anthology of queer playwright activists.
Queer Asian American activists.
Yes. Oh, well, that's different.
Yeah. I don't know if there were any other people in theater in that art, in that anthology.
So were you in there as a writer?
It was just there were just a whole. Yeah, as a writer.
Okay. Because you wear many hats. You're a performer.
Yeah, I am.
You do devised work. You do your own solo pieces.
Yes.
Clearly, you're a director.
Yes.
What else do you do?
Well, I'm trained as a composer of music. I actually went to a conservatory.
Get out!
What conservatory?
This is why we like backstage and offstage.
Yeah.
We learn these things.
And what do you have an instrument that you prefer to compose on?
It's a very fancy program, so we were actually heavily discouraged from composing on instruments.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, if you're sitting at a piano, you write piano music, so it's like not fair to the flautist or the trombonist or whatever. So I don't compose on, and I haven't composed in years, but I mean, piano is probably my best instrument, though I play violin and trumpet, but everything pretty poorly.
Way better than me.
I just love that you shared that, because most people I know that I don't think in terms of, you know, obviously that was my question, what instrument do you compose on? But I do know I had a friend that was an orchestrator, and orchestrators hear all that instrumentation in their head, and they write it down on a piece of paper with a pen, and that always amazed me that he could make these rich, beautiful sounds without hearing them. And I'm guessing that's what a composer's job is as well.
I, Yes. I will say every time I wrote a piece of music, when it was actually played the first time, there was some major surprise.
So, both good and bad?
Usually I was like, oh, cool. Because, like, because you can do the hearing and then writing down what you hear, but sometimes it's kind of like, you know, you can, if someone's acting and then I say, okay, now do that again, but pretending you're changing, like, the tire on your car, even though it's supposed to be set in a coffee shop, it's something surprising because there's some resistance. Right. So there's something about the kind of imperfection of my mind and pitch that would lead to, like, ideas that I wouldn't have imagined, but, like, I wrote it down and then a really talented musician played it and I'm like, oh, cool, I wouldn't have thought of that, but I wrote it down, so I guess I did. So but there are definitely composers who just dictate what's in their brain, but that was not always how my mind.
I don't know if I could handle a whole going on in my head. I mean, there's so much that goes on in my head already to think of a whole composition for all those instruments. That's freaking crazy. It's awesome cray. But like, whew.
Zach, I'm guessing you're from Austin, Texas.
No, actually, I'm not from Austin, Texas. I'm actually a Mississippi boy. I was born in a small town in southern Mississippi, and I lived there for 13
years. Can you spell
years.
Mississippi? Mississippi. Duh. M-I, crooked letter I, crooked letter I, humpback I.
Dun, 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 dun.
Okay, sorry. Go on.
And then when I was 13, I moved to Texas here, to Georgetown, Texas. And
heard of that place?
Yeah.
That really is South Dallas.
Yeah. I moved there, and the first time I ever performed was in a musical, Willy Wonka Jr. I went in, and it was...
Were you an Oompa Loompa?
I was like,
no,
who were
actually,
you?
I was Willy Wonka Jr.
Oh,
Willy Wonka himself,
awesome.
So that kicked off my whole career.
Did you get to sing Candyman? Did you sing Candyman?
I wanted to, but they wouldn't let me because it was a different version where they had another person come in as a Candyman, which I was a little upset about. But they wanted to share the love. So,
wow. So we have a musical group here today.
Yeah. Which,
Jeff, do you do musicals?
Unless you want your ears to bleed, no.
He likes the musicals,
but I do
though, because we
them.
Talk about them
I
all
know.
The time.
He doesn't love them.
I believe we made a lot of musical references today.
Yes,
so.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah, I think I told you guys this, but I wouldn't have been conceived if it wasn't for a musical. I'm
you
serious.
Okay,
this
we
this
had.
One.
That, I don't know. I want to hear it again then, because
so,
I remember hearing that.
My dad was dating this girl and had tickets to see Camelot in L.A.
I do remember this.
And
Jeff,
the day of the show, she dumped him. So he called my mom up and said, I have this ticket to Camelot tonight. Do you want to go?
Robert Goulet does it every time.
And that was their first date.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Wow. I'm telling you, it's Robert Goulet. He'd love that's why he's still in that show. He's heard that story and, like, let me bring people together.
So, yeah, that was, I wouldn't be here without musical theater.
Mazel tov.
Without Camelot specifically.
Yes.
Without Camelot.
Camelot specifically.
Zach, have you done Camelot?
I have not done Camelot.
Do you even know of Camelot?
I've heard of Camelot. I'm still getting around to the whole theater world. I'm still, you know, seeing some plays. Before, I was a baseball player, so I'm transitioning.
With the Cleveland Indians?
No, well, one of my friends pitches for them.
Oh,
so.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah. So, he was a hometown hero, and he got to go up. And
just stuff. So you know, don't listen to what anyone else tells you. Remember this. You can love theater and sports. Don't listen to what anyone else tells you, because they all tell me you can't. You can.
Oh, I know I
and
can.
And I do. And it's awesome.
It's okay.
I used to be an athlete, and the thing is, though, people who are both in theater and sports are so superstitious. They'll, like, turn around and
you
spit over
what?
Their shoulder
really
and toss.
It.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying, the similarities. That's we're so hilarious. Superstitious. Like, baseball players will wear if we wear our socks weird one time and we win, we will do that every time. And actors, if we have something that, like, you know, little things we can't say or do or...
He won't walk under the ladder if we're hanging lights in the space. He won't walk under the ladder. We have this, like, huge 20-foot ladder.
I wouldn't either. It's a little wobbly.
You're going to have to find the soundtrack to Bull Durham the musical for him so you can play it.
Yes. Yeah.
During
during rehearsals.
So, yeah, because that would really, is a really be appropriate for okay. Picnic is to play the musical during rehearsals.
Bull Durham, the musical.
So, you're in high school now,
mm-hmm.
And you're a rising senior.
Yeah.
Do you know if or where you're going to college?
I'm thinking about Sam Houston right now. Just finding a Texas State, places I can afford. So,
yeah, that's good.
And get there. So,
yeah. Are you gonna study theater in college?
Do you? I want to. I want to continue in theater. Maybe even teach it someday.
That's awesome.
If I can, or do whatever, and hopefully I might want to make it big if I can. But if not, you know, it's that. But
so, if yeah. Jeff Davis were going to be producing any show in the world, and he wanted you to play the lead role, what show would that be, and what role would that Ooh. Be?
Oh.
I'm interested in this.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh Jeff my can't hear you. He's not here.
Let's see. If he was producing any show, lead role.
Ooh. Don't really have a dream role that just pops out at you?
Well, the thing with for musicals, I can't have really – I mean, I've got tons of them, but I can't sing them because I'm a bass singer, heavy singer, so unless there's an Elvis musical – But
there is.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, there you go. That's for me. But yeah,
there's Johnny Cash and there's Elvis. They're both not bad.
Oh yeah. Then yeah, I could probably do that. But let's see. Probably if he was putting on Phantom, I would say Phantom of the Opera.
Jeff loves that Phantom. Jeff would be all
over first show
that
I ever
one.
Saw. Actually, yes, yeah.
I remember that too, Mr. Davis.
Awesome. Right.
But was anyone conceived with that show?
Under the chandelier crazy, and the boat.
The crazy theater geek that is me. That was my first taste of theater. Of theater was
right. This Phantom
when I was 5.
Do you remember
who
was in it?
Hiding in the boat.
Do you remember who was in it?
It was Robert Guillaume.
Oh,
because I was in LA and he was
who I like to call Guillaume.
Yeah,
Guillaume.
Wow, yeah.
So Michael Crawford was in it, replaced by Robert Guillaume, and then Michael Crawford came back, so I got to see him do it later.
Well, what's interesting is when, because that wasn't on Broadway, because what's his name that just got the first African-American person
Norm
to play?
Lewis?
Norm Lewis, yeah.
From my side
Because Robert Guillaume is African-American.
Yeah, but it was...
Is he still around, Robert Guillaume?
He passed away a couple years ago, I think.
I got to hang out with him, meet him one night.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Lovely.
At the Essence Awards, yeah. It was
I
awesome.
Love the Essence Awards. I love the essence of the Essence Awards.
That's the night I met Michael Jordan, too. That
lovely.
Was another good night.
Who else have you met? No, stop. Because we're talking to Jeff Davis right now.
I know.
So you were conceived because of Camelot.
I was. Not that night. Like, my parents only didn't move that quick. But,
okay.
But, yeah, I mean, that was their first date, and they got married. Like,
do they still listen to the soundtrack?
Yeah. Like when we road trip, like it comes up and I love that show too. Like I really legitimately love Camelot.
I've talked about this on the program before, but my parents went to see early in their dating life The Unsinkable Molly Brown. Mm-hmm. And so that soundtrack was part of my childhood growing up because of that.
It's a good soundtrack.
It is. I like it.
I do like that show.
I like it. And, you know, it's about a sinking ship. Who can't like
it's
that?
It's about a chick who can't sink.
So,
on that sinking ship.
So, oh, God, what was I going to ask you? I totally forgot. I'm trying to think when we last spoke backstage.
Mm-hmm.
You had just, well, many people know that you are, like, would you call that head critic for AustinBroadwayWorld.com?
I wouldn't say I'm the head critic, but I was the first.
You're
I was
the Austin dude.
First regional writer for Broadway World Austin.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or not first, but I was, like, the one that kind of
we like to call you revitalized leader of the
pack. And I still write for them occasionally, but honestly, like, running this theater company has taken up a lot more of my time.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the way I mean, I love supporting theater and supporting artists in this town, but honestly, like, there's enough love there already. And being able to start something else that's specifically geared towards helping students. And we just started a scholarship fund, too.
Awesome.
Be awarding a scholarship to one of the students in our program in May.
A scholarship to what?
a scholarship to college.
To any college.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. We're still kind of finalizing what that's going to look like, and, you know, do they have to major in theater or can they major in anything? And the board is, you know, having an ongoing discussion about that, because this will be the first year that we award that. But there's already money in that fund, and because of
that's
what we're
awesome.
Doing. And, you know, it's that's taken me away from writing, but it's worth it. It's
that's
great.
I'm so happy you guys are doing that. We talk about that a lot. So what's in the future for you?
Well, right after Picnic.
I don't know why that was funny.
No, it's funny.
I
because
believe we're about to find out.
It's funny because right after we open Picnic on Monday, so the 2 weeks or the week before between our performance weeks, Zach and I start rehearsing our next show.
Uh-huh, which is
the Texas premiere of Bonhoeffer's Cost, which is about the true story of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a German pastor and theologian during World War II. Became an anti-Nazi spy and was arrested by the Nazis and tried for treason against the country. So really, really interesting piece.
I like comedy.
Oh, yes, totally. What's really funny is the writer of it she wrote this this really funny comedy that we did last year for Christmas. And while we were in production for it, she emails me and she's like, I think you need to read the script. It's completely different. You bet your butt it's completely different. Yeah. But
kind of fascinating, though.
Yeah, but we start that on Monday. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, we have run long, as we typically do. But thank you guys for all joining us backstage.
Yes,
we have to clear the backstage area for the load in of the next show, Bloomers Are Us.
I know. So. Stage
but,
right.
But thanks again for joining us, and have a great theater week.
Thank you.
Bye,
you
everybody.
Too.